I'm ready whenever, ready for roll call?
You're ready. Okay, yeah.
Okay, we're gonna do another roll call on this one. Mr. McLeod is out. Ms. Heinbuckle?
Here.
Mr. Musley?
Present.
Mr. Owen is out, and Ms. Rich?
Here.
Thank you.
Do we have any public comments before we get started? No public comments. So we, our discussion is gonna be on the stormwater master plan.
Good afternoon, Madam President, members of the council. Thank you for inviting me today to give a presentation on our stormwater master plan. Particularly, it's the master plan for the airport that will be followed up with a master plan on, or not a master plan, but a presentation by myself about the efforts of the stormwater division of the Public Works Department and what we've done to mitigate the flooding and flooding issues within the city of Ocala since the last rainy season last June, and issues that had predated that, and actually to my arrival at the city. As you know, my name is Sean Lanier. I'm the Public Works Director, and actually this week I'm celebrating my one-year anniversary with the city. I started in March 19th of last year. So.
Congratulations.
So thank you for still having me here. And I hope that you will be pleased with the results. Yes.
Especially after last June.
Especially after we dumped the stormwater problem in your lap when you got here.
But actually, I enjoy a challenge, and it's been challenging and very rewarding working for the city of Ocala. And I hope that I've appreciated working for you, and I hope that you appreciate my efforts. With that, I'd like to introduce our consultant, GPI Southeast. They're a local firm, civil engineering firm, and Mr. Bob Titterington is the president or vice president, and he'll be presenting on the stormwater master plan for the airport. The stormwater master plan for the airport, just to summarize it, is basically a development plan to facilitate quick and ready development of the airport in support of our strategic goal, make Ocala an economic hub. What it'll allow quick, expedient permitting, expedite the permitting process. When we have a developer on hook, they can come in and basically, if they're going to develop a parcel, they'll just drop their site plan on our plan already. So we'll already have most of the design done. So it'll be 90% done, and then it can be tweaked slightly to accommodate any unique features of their plan. So with that, I'll introduce Mr. Bob Titterington.
Thank you, Sean. Madam President, Council, and administrative staff, my name is Bob Titterington. I'm the Director of Engineering for GPI Southeast, the local engineering firm providing services to develop the stormwater master plan for the Ocala International Airport. We're here today to have a brief discussion on the development of the master plan. And as a previous government employee, it's always an honor to work with a board that is proactive and is progressive in developing a plan that will be a tool that will be utilized in the future in the development of the airport. This project has been ongoing for approximately a year. We're currently in the permitting process, and I'm going to turn it over to Alan Gary, who is actually the project manager who has been carrying the ball on this for the past year. And he will go into a little bit more detail, but again, it's going to be a brief just a presentation. Thank you. Alan?
Alan Gary with GPI Southeast. It's actually been a pleasure to work on this project, and I just want to say good morning, Madam President and Councilman Mr. Brower. I've been a Ocala resident for about almost 30 years. I grew up here, and it's been a pleasure working on a project that I think is really going to help the economic development in the city. I think that what we have here is going to add to the infrastructure that you've already put in place out at the airport to make it attractive to industries and developers and retail chains. And I just want to begin by talking about what is the Stormwater Master Plan? What are our objectives? What were we trying to do with that plan? And like Bob and Sean were talking about, we want it to facilitate future growth. We want it to distinguish between aviation growth and non-aviation growth. So the development between those two areas. We want it to definitely expedite the stormwater permitting process. That when it comes to development, that's the longest process in getting a site built is permitting through stormwater. We wanted the stormwater master plan to be flexible, to allow developers to pick their lot size, to allow the DRAs to be shifted and reshaped if necessary to accommodate a specific developer that wants to come in. And to that end, to provide the flexibility, we wanted there to be joint use facilities. So that means that developers don't have to build their own DRA. There's one within each basin that they can direct their stormwater to. So what is what does it look like to facilitate future development? And when we talk about aviation and non-aviation, what does that look like? The map you see in front of you has three different areas that are shaded. The blue shaded area is the area that has been identified for aviation growth. That's the area on the airport layout plan that is being reviewed by the FAA right now. This will include expanded runway, a new taxiway, new tarmacs, could be any of that, and it will serve any industry that's going to need access to the runway is really going to fall under the aviation development side. The other two areas that you see are the shaded yellow. That's an industrial and commercial applications, depending on what the commercial application is. And the other area shaded red, or might look magenta to you, is retail and commercial. And that fronts on State Road 40. As you're looking at the map, Southwest 60th is going to appear at the top of the page. State Road 40 will be on your left. 38th is on your right. And the new road that the city has built, which cuts through the airport property, is Southwest 67th Ave. And that's framed in blue. How do we achieve these goals? You know, how do we make a plan that's going to bring development in and going to expedite the permitting process and is going to provide some flexibility to help the developer? The first thing we did was we started with data collection. We wanted this process, we wanted the process of creating the stormwater master plan to be efficient and to be a cost savings and just to make sense. So we started with all the existing data that the city had, and we worked with just about every city department that had data in hand. Transportation, public works, utilities, anybody who had some information on the airport property, we got that information from them. We were able to use that to develop a base map. And the backbone for that was the airport layout plan that I mentioned previously. So we combined all this existing data and we analyzed it. And where there were gaps, we went out to the field and got new measurements, new soil borings, whatever we needed. We created a preliminary master plan that we turned into the city, and it was reviewed and approved by the Airport Advisory Board. They had some comments, some of the other city departments had some comments, and we adjusted the plan, and we've submitted a final master plan, which is the point that we're at now. We've also submitted and are in the process of receiving the SWFMUD, the Southwest Florida Water Management District permit. The long or the short is, what does the plan look like? What does that final plan look like? What does it mean to have a stormwater master plan out at the airport? This picture in front of you, this map that you're seeing here, is basically the stormwater master plan. What you're seeing here, the areas outlined with black, those are the proposed basins. So what that means is that if it rains out there, the black lines, there's stormwater is not going to cross those lines. Those are the basins. Those are the boundaries for where the stormwater is going to be held. The yellow lines are proposed locations for the DRAs. The DRAs have been sized and shaped and located in a way that, upon initial analysis and discussions with staff, we feel like these are the best locations to facilitate development. But like I was saying, the plan is flexible. Through the permit that we're going to obtain with SWFMUD, the DRAs will be able to be reshaped or relocated within the basin. They can't be moved outside of the basin, but they can be relocated within the basin to accommodate a specific developer. The rub or the catch is you have to have the same size DRA. So it has to hold the same amount of water. Think of a water balloon. You can reshape the water balloon, but you got to hold the same amount of stormwater. The way this plan is going to be managed is as development takes place, city staff will have an accounting spreadsheet that they'll be able to tell how much development has taken place. And they'll be able to compare that to the allowable amount of development that's in the basin. And I'm going to talk a little bit about how the stormwater process, why is that permit expedited? Normally, if a developer were to come out here and want to build a site, he'd have to prove that how much stormwater he's going to generate, where it's going to go, what it's going to attenuate, or how much water will be held in the DRAs. With this master plan in place, all the developer is going to have to show is how much impervious area he's going to have, the buildings and the parking, and that he gets it to one of these approved DRAs. That's all he's going to have to do. It will drastically reduce the time required for permitting because this master plan is in place. As I was talking to you about, we went through two processes. We went through a preliminary master plan that went through review with staff and then a final. I want to just give you an example of one of the things we were able to do to not just make this plan flexible for the existing, flexible for the proposed development, those areas that are vacant right now. We were also able to make it flexible and for the areas of the airport that are already built out. The advisory board asked if it was possible to relocate the stormwater that flows into a DRA. You see it right here. It's the DRA just runs parallel to 60th Ave. It occupies some very valuable land. And the airport is interested in using that land to put T-hangers in. So we were able to relocate or redirect the stormwater to that DRA you see located to the left or to the north. It's the north side of the airport. And with the piping and the structures that are in there to convey the stormwater, they're going to be able to expand those T-hangers all the way to 60th if they choose to. The other thing I want to point out to you on this map is the DRA is located in a runway protection zone. Those runway protection zones are FAA required, and you cannot put a building in there. You can put DRAs because they don't get above the ground elevation, but you can't put any buildings. So we maximized the use of the land that isn't available for development anyway. We left as much developable land open as possible. So some of our results and conclusions that we were able to do, some of the steps that we were able to show is that we did maximize the use of the existing facilities. We were able to expand where necessary on that side of the airport that's already built out. We were able to allow for future development. We've provided a plan that's flexible. It allows modification for developer site-specific plans. It's tailored really for whatever they want when they come in. Meets the FAA and the SWIFT MUD requirements, and I think most importantly, it facilitates the council's development goals of the airport, which is to make Ocala an economic hub. I think the airport's gonna fit right in. This stormwater master plan is another tool that you all have in your box. It fits in with the road that you put out there. It fits in with the water and sewer that you're putting out there in anticipation of the future economic growth. And with that, I'll take any questions or comments that you all have.
I don't have any questions. I appreciate the work very much. And
it was a pleasure to work on it.
It seems very complicated and very simple all at the same time. But I know it's taken a lot of work, but it makes sense. And I appreciate it. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
I do have a question.
Yes, sir.
Can you go back to that one slide? I think it was one more. Right there. Can you see the area in square where it says runway protection zone?
Yes, sir.
On the corner of 60th and State Route 40, I believe there's another DRA. I don't think it's within a runway protection zone, but I think there is another DRA. Do you know if this plan looked at relocating that DRA? Because that land is also very valuable because it sits on that significant exchange, a significant intersection of 60 and 40. Was there any thought about trying to move that one so that land could be put in better use, have better value to it?
We did look at that. That is a DOT DRA we were able to look at, and when we looked at it, DOT wasn't opening, they weren't open to relocating it. Maybe possible to revisit that to show them that we can store their stormwater further in on the airport property. But being a DOT facility, they weren't open to relocating it at that time.
But it is possible.
It's certainly possible to relocate it. Right.
Okay.
Well, I would recommend that we're giving them more power. That's an extremely valuable corner going forward as we pull out of this economic recession. And there's more space developed over there, particularly once the airport becomes more developed. I picture that corner as a fantastic corner.
Yeah.
It's something we can pursue.
What level were those conversations had? Just at the local District 5 mm-hmm. level, or were they higher up on the food chain?
No, we didn't go higher up on the food chain. No.
Yeah. Okay.
We can reopen them when I get to my presentation here. We've got some leverage with the state on the department. We can start working with different things into
that will accommodate resize.
You're talking about the DOT?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know that
they
sized it to
accommodate. We sized it.
Yes, it will accommodate the DOT pond.
What one will? This one here?
It will, yes.
Okay.
So that's a good point.
We're
yes.
working in negotiation. We preemptively built the capacity in there. We just have to escalate the conversation.
Good.
Good. I'm glad you're thinking that way. Because mm-hmm. I think it's several years away, but still it's
something to keep in the forefront. Yeah. Yeah. Any other questions? Thank you all for allowing us to come today. And again, it was a real pleasure working on this project.
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, that's about it, isn't it?
Sean's got a couple more.
Presentation on what the Public Works Stormwater Division has been doing to address flooding issues and then some of our operational changes that we've made to address flooding.
Sean, will you pull that mic down just a little bit?
I'll get a little closer too. Okay. Stormwater Division. Basically, we maintain the stormwater infrastructure, we manage the floodplain, comply with the federal law, and we maintain the stormwater quality in compliance with the water district permits and the EPA stormwater permits. And we also provide emergency services, more particular, it's the stormwater pumping as well as debris removal and those issues. The Public Works Department also has traffic, so we do a lot of the MOT for shutdown where we've got the flooded streets or you've got debris issues, down power lines, a lot of that too. So the whole, whenever there's a storm, the entire Public Works Division is mobilized and we operate as a team. We don't really discriminate. Wherever there's help needed, we have sanitation even out there working on the storm, sometimes helping out stormwater. So. We operate off of a flood watch list. And the flood watch list is a pretty simple concept. What we've done is we've got a map of flood-prone areas within the city, and this is based on observation. Most of your flood data, I mean, it boils back down to where has it flooded before in the past from storms. They call it, engineering comes up with words like empirical data, but all that is field data. You know, where is it flooded? Where do you have problems? Where do you have flooding every time it rains? Different levels of storms, you're gonna have elevated levels of flooding. Some places may not flood one storm, bigger storm, it floods over here. And so what we've done is we've got a map of the flood-prone areas where it's historically flooded, and then we've ranked it and prioritized it by degrees of flooding as well as who's affected. Basically, if you've got houses and you've got property damage, that's gonna be higher ranking. on our list than if you just had some nuisance flooding, like the street floods until it's carried on down through after the storm and it goes away. Our list is tied directly to our maintenance plan, our storm event preparation plan, and then also our CIP projects that we come up with every year to continually try to alleviate those flooding conditions and kind of chop away at the list. In 2006 was, from what my observation was the last time they had a list. They had approximately 22 different places, and I used the June storm to actually come up with my list, and so I reduced it down to 13 locations, and these were the areas that flooded. On this list, this is a picture of the watch list. I'm going to concentrate on the top seven in priority. Now, they're ID'd differently than the prioritization, so I've ranked them and categorized them by the priority. The places I'm going to discuss are Heritage Hills, the Cameo Pond, which is on the boulevard there, where the old Cameo photo used to be. It's right behind it. It's across from the golf course. Azteca Restaurant, which is at the boulevard and Northeast 40th Avenue. Hurricane Battery, which is on Northeast 17th Road. The Albertsons Pond, which is out behind the old Albertsons. And Gibson Electric, which is at Northeast 20th Street. And then Chazelle Park, which is it's basically across Northeast 8th Avenue from Tuscaloosa, back in that neighborhood, on at 11th and Northeast 7th Street. There's a picture of the watch list, and we use this. The reason it's called the watch list is this is the places we would mobilize to or go to in the storm. I've kind of preemptively changed that. A lot of these areas, we've pre-staged pumps, so if a storm comes up and we've got an area we always have to pump down, we're leaving the pumps there, and we've got them ready going into the rainy season. Also, we've maximized our operations where if there's capacity, we pump them down between storms to make sure that there's as much capacity as possible that we can have between storms. For instance, the Cameo Pond is one area that we do it. Heritage Hills, we do it. Most of the these locations are all within the northeast quadrant. And the reason this is they've addressed a lot in the other areas of the city, and this kind of happens to be what's left. And these also are legacy areas where you've had all your development, and they were developed at not to the standards that we currently have. A lot of them were developed in the 60s, early 70s. At that time, your storm, you may not have had a level of a drainage retention or a storm requirement. Eventually, it was a 10-year design storm. Now we're at a 100-year 24-hour storm. The first one on the list, the highest priority, is Heritage Hills because of the flooding. It actually has impacted property owners, flooded houses. This is kind of just a shot aerial view of Heritage Hills. Where it shows pump station two there, that's actually the lift station for the sewer plant. The pump station is located just across the street from that square. So, must have pulled the wrong photo in. On this, this is a picture of the basin that actually drains to Heritage Hills. If you'll notice, Heritage Hills is the small, shows the school sub-basin call out there. It's just below that. You'll see the little round circle, Northeast 4th Street and 5th Street, where they combine into 18th Avenue. Wish I could point to it, but can't do that. Anyway, it's a large basin. It's got multiple sub-basins. They all overflow into Heritage Hills. So you've got all this large area basically going to that one DRA.
So. Just a quick question. All of the basins that are outlined in red are going to the Heritage Hill?
Yes, ma'am. And then
DRA?
Yes, ma'am. And then the yellow basin, that's the FDOT basin from the FDOT pond that's located on the north side of the boulevard that's behind Wing House. And it's just north of Northeast 2nd Street. It's got the little triangle notch there in it. That's where it overflows. And basically that basin will overflow when that pond reaches its capacity and it ends up in Heritage Hills. So you've got a large area that contributes basically to Heritage Hills. So the way to, I call it eating the elephant, the way to address this is you got to chop it up and try to prevent the water from going to Heritage Hills. Again, you see how small the DRA appears on the aerial. So we've got Heritage Hills that we've got projects to address in our kind of a multi-pronged approach. We've got several solutions, different phases or components that will make up the overall solution. First, we start, we've got Heritage Hills. And right now, this year, we're actually putting in a dual, it's called a dual receptacle or dual pump station, where what we're doing is upgrading the existing pump station to retrofit it with new pumps, and there'll be two of them so that you've got a redundancy, as well as in a large storm, you can operate both pumps at the same time, and you've doubled the capacity. The other thing is we're going to put in another force main, so each pump has its own force main. Part of the solution with that, because of the long lead time for the two pumps that we have to fit in into the, without getting too technical, to fit into the wet well, we're going to buy the pumps. We've already ordered them, and they'll be government furnished, so they could start working on them immediately or as quick as we could, and then we'll supply them to the contractor. But that still leaves it not being installed until about August. What we're doing is we're piecing it out so that we do the other pieces of the job piece by piece, so that the only thing that has to be done is the installation of the pumps. Throughout the whole time, the existing pump will continue to be in service. The other thing we're doing is we're installing the force main from that station, a second force main, so we'll have two main lines to Yum Yum Pond. With that, we've got one auxiliary pump there. We'll put another one there. So you'll basically have three pumps and triple the capacity at that pump station going into the rainy season. That's the short. So we're maximizing where we can. In FY14, we want to expand. We've located some land. We've got a proposed DRA site on Northeast 3rd Street. And what we want to do is we're in negotiation right now to purchase some property that's a vacant property, and we'd like to develop a DRA there. And what that'll do is it'll take a couple of those upper basins and possibly the FDOT overflow off of the DRA at Heritage Hills. So you take that water and you store it in what they call upland storage. And it'll, depending on how it develops, it'll hopefully be a perk pond. If not, we'll pop it off and it'll go on down to be pumped back into Yum Yum, but after the storm to recover. But that'll be one component. Then we had already in my previous report on Heritage Hills identified the Nature Conservancy area for expansion. What this Northeast 3rd Street DRA will do is it'll allow us to not to have to expand as much in Nature Conservancy, but we'll still have to expand it. I'm just kind of estimating about double the size of the existing pond or the DRA that we have at the corner of Northeast 21st Avenue and Northeast 3rd Street. That's Nature Conservancy, if you recall.
The back of just the backspace.
Nature Conservancy would be just on the, if you're looking at this Heritage Hills on your right, is the Nature Conservancy area, Nature Conservancy Park. And so this would be just down the street to the east, Northeast 21st. This is on the other corner, opposite corner from the Heritage Hills. Nature Conservancy is on the left now to orient. So that's what we're gonna planning. Along with that, we've negotiated we located a existing drainage well in the Nature Conservancy area. FDEP did a site visit, and we've been discussing with them. We've got a confirmation letter from them giving us approval to relocate a 6-inch drainage well from Nature Conservancy to Heritage Hills DRA. So we're also going to install an overflow drainage well there. That'll allow us to increase the volume and plus bleed it down to whatever level, because it's a wet pond, and part of it is you always have water in it. So that's one of those other components, and we're working on that right now. The other thing we've got is we're lowering the Yum Yum drainage well. Across the street, and to the east a little bit, is the Yum Yum Pond. It's actually circled or highlighted in yellow there, and it's about just above the Heritage Hills Pump Station tidal block. If you look just above that, there's a small pond. That's the Yum Yum Pond. There's a drainage well there, an 18-inch drainage well, that Heritage Hills has to pump to get rid of the water. We've got permission from FDEP to lower that well casing for storms. Basically, we'll valve it and open it for the storm events, and that'll allow us to put more head on the well and actually dispose of or increase the capacity of that drainage well to allow us to get rid of more water. And that's also being done this year. This is just a snapshot of our CIP we've got planned. We had FY13 this year, we had $286,000 allocated. There's additional changes like the drainage well and some of the other things that will be taken care of out of our operational budget. We have money in there for maintenance and other items that we'll use to address the smaller ones like lowering the drainage well. FY14, we have $300,000, and that's to build the Third Street, Northeast Third Street DRA. And then FY15, we've got $500,000, and that's to do the Nature Conservancy expansion and any other the little remaining items like Northeast Third Street, the piping and stuff in it. There's an overflow from Yum Yum that we'd reroute back to Nature Conservancy.
Sean, will you go back two slides?
Okay. Yes, sir.
Will you take just a moment and clarify for the council that your current plan is not to buy any of the homes surrounding the Heritage Hills Pond, and that the strategy that you've laid out is actually a equal strategy in terms of providing more capacity, but probably exceeds any strategy that would include taking a home because of the additional cost?
Yes, sir. If what we've done, I was just about to get into some of the stuff, the work that we've done. Let me skip ahead to the next slide here. This is the existing, this is a picture of, before picture of probably February of the Heritage Hills DRA. If you look at the thick mat of sediment and debris and brush that's in the bottom, part of our annual maintenance is we go in the wet ponds and we should be removing any sediment that accumulates. After, you know, 3, 5, 10 years, you're going to have a buildup of sediment because any of the leaves and debris that you don't pick up with our sweeper and our normal sanitation out of somebody's yard, it washes off into the street and eventually it ends up in the DRAs. So annually we should, and we do, we perform maintenance and we identify DRAs to do this. I've moved Heritage Hills to the top of the list. Part of the issue was the debris. The intake, you can see, is on the left side where we had the measuring sticks kind of sticking up out of there. Those are the measuring rods that you could look at the level of the DRA. It's right next to that little gate. That gate's a bar screen, and that's the lower intake for that pump station. What I've identified is we went ahead and we cleaned the debris that was in front of the bar screen. That's a picture of our pump with an auxiliary hookup. We can come back and discuss that in a minute. But we've got that stage there, and my goal is to add another one. And that's one of the new pumps that we just purchased. We went through and we started digging this out. We took out the debris and we shaped the pond. You can see all the depth here. So the end result is... You can see this pond, the intake, if you'll notice, it's about 5 feet below the bottom of that pump station. That's wet. That's a wet pond, so normally you can't utilize that volume. Our changes that we've implemented operationally and then eventually engineering-wise with our drainage well and everything else, as well as some of the side shaping we've done, we've recovered quite a bit of volume out of this pond. that we can utilize now. So this, along with the other changes that are a proposed plan for upstream storage, should facilitate the storm without having to buy any adjacent property. My goal is to be able to facilitate it where the people that bought their homes overlooking the pond or in that area can continue to maintain their homes without the threat of flooding. And so I don't want to purchase property. Basically right there. If they've raised their kids there, I want them to be able to stay there. And so I think with this plan, it's basically, and I really didn't know this until, you kind of nibble at it. And so it's kind of evolved this way where I think we're capable of addressing the storms with these other plans implemented. We'll take most of the basin off of the DRA, and then the remainder will be more than covered by the increased capacity at the existing DRA.
I have a question just about the surrounding area. I see the homes here to the left through there. What is that building right there? And there's looks like a parking lot or something.
It's an apartment.
The apartment building?
Yeah.
Are you looking at the Third Street photo?
No, the white building. You see the two-tone.
No.
Oh, was it in my photos?
Yeah.
Yeah. That one right there.
Yeah, the brick two.
Yeah, that's an apartment building that's across the street. It's across Northeast Third. Actually, the Yum Yum Pond will be to the left of that. So we actually just pump it out of the hill. The Heritage Hills DRA is actually the low of the low. So it all ends up at the kind of the bottom here of all those basins. Elevation-wise, I think it was the pond bottom's at 59, and our street is right around 80. So you can see the difference in elevation. And then you see the hose with the auxiliary pump. Our new pumps going into the rainy season, just as an aside note, they're actually equipped where we can operate them off of a float system. And we're working on there's an add-on for these. The new ones that we're ordering, we should be receiving soon this year, we'll already have it installed. It's a SCADA system, so you can remote monitor those pumps as well. And my goal is to have these outfitted with the pump system, set the level of the pond, and then it'll auto start and pump it down. I mean, we'll still be checking it throughout the storms, but you've got a lot of, instead of it being a manual process, you'll actually have it auto. And so if you had a big surprise storm comes up, you've got the existing one, which has a float system or a bubbler system, same thing, and then we'll have these two auxiliary pumps on a float system, and you can set the different times they come on and set that level of that pond and keep it down. So you'll have basically 6,000 GPM capacity coming out of that one, where the existing one's rated at 2. Okay. So we'll triple our capacity. the next thing I was going to discuss was going into the Cameo DRA, which is our number two priority. And this is just a quick shot of where it is. The Muni Golf Course will be at the bottom, bottom side, which is on the south side of the boulevard there. And then you've got the Cameo DRA, and then in front of it will be that the old Cameo photo. I think it's still a print shop. I think there's the Kilt and then the McDonald's further to the east there. The entire basin, what we're doing right now this year is, this is kind of the tougher nut of all of them. We've got engineers working on a design to first define exactly what drains to the Cameo photo. There's two or three studies that have been done in the past and they're different numbers. And first I want to make sure I know exactly what I'm trying to tackle. So we've got them reevaluating the base drainage basins. There's a drainage basin to the west that when it overflows to the Albertsons Pond. But the drainage system in the boulevard carries some of that water to the Cameo. So I want to define first how much is carrying, and then part of your plan would be, can we start sending all of it to the Albertsons Pond instead of carrying it downstream to this Cameo. So there's different solutions that are presented, but first you got to know the scope of the problem. We've got we've got our CIP plan. We've got the $100,000 that we're using to study it this year. We were going to do some temporary implementation on a force main to help us operationally, but the kind of the permitting, the water district didn't want us to do it, so we're looking at other alternatives. We've been using this for the feasibility study this year, pretty much engineering. FY14, we've got $250,000 that we're going to use, and what we've done is we've identified a property that's located to the north of the existing Cameo. There's a parcel of land, it's approximately 11 acres, that we're currently looking at feasibility to pump it to. So first you have to build somewhere to pump it to, and then we would develop the infrastructure to get it there. That's what FY15 and FY16 is. It would be diverting anything we could off of the existing system that's in 40, like from that neighboring basin, and then it would be building the pump station and the force main to get it to this new DRA. And the existing Cameo pond isn't permitted. It predates, it's back to the 60s again. That's why its volume is the way it is. And part of this discussion is with this new BMAP and the TMDL, the system that the Cameo is currently on is the Boulevard, and it's the Silver River. It's our only outfall to a surface water. And so it's part of our permit process, NPDES permitting that system. So it's scrutinized kind of heavily from an environmental water quality viewpoint. So they would love us to take this little piece off of it, because it would take some of that water that's going to surface discharge, and then you'd get more treatment if it's perking or going through a perk pond. So that's part of this solution. So it's addressing two things. You're going to address some of the environmental along with your flood issues. And like I said, right now we're still studying and coming up with some of the solutions on that, but we've kind of got a little preliminary plan laid out. The next one is the Azteca. It's located off of 40th, Northeast 40th Avenue in the Boulevard. It's we just purchased the property, I believe, at the end of last year. We've got it funded for this next year and this year. It's a phased project. At the end of this year, we'll start the construction on the design. We were doing the design, completing it this year, to develop a kind of a regional DRA drainage retention area. On the list, the Northeast 40th Avenue there in the Azteca parking area, that's Azteca circled there. It floods whenever we have a storm, and in a heavy storm, it'll overlap and flood into the Boulevard. And then there's some apartments across the street that are also kind of in danger of flooding, but it pretty much closes off that street. What this project will do is develop this regional DRA that'll take all that drainage and the way it should be, and it's to the current standards. We're scheduled, we'll probably start, we'll put it out for bid, and then to do at least the tree clearing, and then it's phased. If we can't do all of it, we can do it in two pieces if we have to. But I think with the funding that I'm requesting, I can accomplish it all next year, and that's $300,000 basically to dig out the DRA, and to do a small amount of pipe work, culvert work off of Northeast 40th. Number four is what we call the Hurricane Battery. And this one is just, there's a flood issue on Northeast 17th Road. It floods, and then the adjacent business that's right across from our little, our DRA, what's circled in red. Hurricane Battery is actually down the street, but the business that's located across the street is always kind of subject to in danger of flooding, or they flooded. And just to raise the level of service, there are blight properties in the area. This was a foreclosure that we identified. The little piece that's circled in red, we bought the tax certificate on it. We're waiting for the sheriff's sale. Well, I call it the sheriff's sale where I come from, the appraisal district deed sale, tax deed sale. And what we're going to do is just increase the capacity of the DRA by the size of that lot, it'll add about 30% more volume to it, and then we'll just continue to nibble on this one as it comes up. If we see another opportunity, then we'll try to buy it. We expect that, I think the assessed value on the property is about $30,000. Like I said, we have the tax certificate, and so we don't expect it to sell for the assessed value. Just depends on who decides to bid against us. that's that one. It's kind of a smaller flooding issue. $30,000, that's just basically to purchase the property, and then this would be something that we would do in-house with our in-house staff and operational staff. Kind of like the Heritage Hills DRA that we did. The next one is the Albertsons Pond. We had it in this year to actually convert the existing pump station to a dual pump station, and we actually finished it. That was completed this last Friday. It was within budget. It was $86,000 to do that. I put punch list items pending. We still got a few more things, but it's pretty much done. It's online, monitored by SCADA. All the pump tests came back. It doubled the capacity. I think it had 1,000 GPM pump. Now it's 2,000 GPM total capacity with both running. The other thing we've been doing is some sediment removal and some shaping in the pond that we'll probably, we're about to hit the rainy season, we'll probably have to break off and finish that next year. The next one is the Gibson Electric. This is the old Jacksonville Road. The Gibson DRA that's highlighted in blue at the bottom of the screen, that was an existing city pond when they expanded or widened the Northeast Jacksonville Road and did that project, which was completed in 2011. The upper left corner, there's the they developed this other DRA, the county did. This was a county city project. The city got that DRA along, we already had the Gibson DRA as part of our agreement. We took it over for maintenance. Well, that DRA is interconnected to the Gibson DRA, and so they're equalized. So you're storing the volume in both places. Basically, when it comes off the road, it goes in the one, and then you've got capacity in the other. We have some apartments that are actually located behind the Gibson DRA, to the north of the Gibson DRA, that are kind of prone to flooding. We have to go pump down the other one, down to Tom's Park, in order to prevent those apartments from flooding. So to address that issue, we want to expand that and hold as much as we can. And so what we've done is we just had the piece of land that's highlighted in green that was approved by council that we purchased, and that'll allow us to expand that pond about double the capacity of that second pond. Now what the other area that's shaded in blue are these parcels that are owned by the county. Kind of looking into it, it's been so quick that the county hasn't turned over the deeds for the property to us, but we've got the permit under the St. John's for that new pond. So we're getting them to turn over the other parcels as well, and we'll just basically build out or dig out to the extents of the available land. It'll basically increase, double the size of that pond, and it'll increase it by, 33%. Between all of them when it's all said and done, or double, about 50% over the two existing, basically. And to do that, we've got $200,000 that we'll budget for next year, and it's basically to dig out to this property. And last, the last one on the list, this is number seven, is the Chazelle Park. And it's located, you can see on the left side, you can see the Tuscarawas from the aerial. You can see Tuscarawas Lake, and then it's opposite Northeast 8th Avenue from it, back in that neighborhood. It's a really nice little park area. It was fenced in, basically a fenced in DRA. It's a wet pond, and what we've been doing so far as we've This year, we have been working on shaping it and expanding the capacity of this DRA. And then we've got some inoperable drainage wells that we're going to work with FDEP to allow us to drill a new one. And so I've got proposed $75,000 for next year for drilling a new well and to replace one of the inoperable existing wells. And then the last on the list, this is a joint project with DOT. They approached us about the 17th or Southeast Maricamp Road and Southeast 25th Avenue. The Woodlands Village is right there where that DRA is shown on kind of the left center of the screen. It's an area that's subject to flooding and heavy rain across this DOT road. What they do in their normal operations now is they actually pump that area down and they pump it into our system. And that part of our system they pump to goes to Nature Park. So they've approached us about connecting to our system with an overflow that will take the extra water instead of flooding the street and send it down to Nature Park. And so we've been working with them on a design. They would fund it and everything else and expand the capacity of the DRA at Nature Park. Been working with Parks and Rec staff so that they can kind of do it in a way that they would want to make it beneficial to the city. And then it addresses a concern, I think, for everybody, that the mutual benefit of just not flooding the road. And there's an aerial of Nature Park. I don't have anything funded for this because it'll be totally DOT funded, of course, subject to council approval.
Does Nature Park itself flood into those apartments?
Nature Park with that will be expanding. I don't think it does.
It has in the past. No. It's gone above the fence line, not into the apartments, but awful close.
Yeah. It's been close, but what we're doing is we're expanding the capacity of the park. And with that, we'll be looking at the existing pump station.
Okay.
So there's a pump station there that we'll look at on its capacity, and it pumps the DRA across the street. That
yeah, isn't there one just to the east of 30th Avenue mm-hmm. over here that's not highlighted?
Yeah, it's actually just outside where it says pump station 5, the leader. Yeah. There's one actually to the northeast.
Okay.
There's another DRA, and that's where it pumps to. And the water, you know, that one's dry, and this one's a wet pond all the time. So we'll be addressing that in the design. And like I said, it's to take the overflow. So we'll address the capacity of our system, our pumping system, and everything else to make sure it's not going to add to our flood issue. That's part of the, right now the design is being worked.
Okay.
So we're working on it. It's still in the design stage. We haven't seen it's early design. We haven't even seen the preliminary design yet. And then the last is just the snapshot of the fund along with the CIP projects that I've gone over. The Stormwater Utility Fund, at the end of this year, we project that we'll have a fund reserve balance of about $2.5 million. I'm projecting the revenue is going to stay flat. It averages about $4.6 million. And then our operating expenses, I've got it at we may end up coming in lower because we're shifting stuff around to different funds that, for instance, something like sanitation should be funding that for whatever reason stormwater's funding. We're playing those kind of things, but right now I've got it conservatively at 3301 or 3.3 million for our budget for operating expense for 14. The CIP project total, which includes some capital equipment that we're looking at purchasing on a lease program, as well as a couple more pumps and a shed and a loader. The loader's on a lease. So there's those pieces of equipment listed with that. So it's all included. Is just right under $1.6 million. With that, the end of year balance at FY14, I predict, would be about $2.2 million or a little bit over. And then going into 15, that becomes the reserve. And so basically, in a nutshell, I'm trying to get keep the reserve or the end of year balance close to $2 million, which is greater than 50% of the operating budget, which I think is conservative for, you know, if we had a storm or some other issues, 6 months operating or greater. So that's the fund. And that's really the conclusion of my presentation. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
I just think it's what great work. I mean, we last year handed you a mess, and it's just fabulous. You've got it all organized and strategized and wonderful.
You've done a fantastic job.
Wonderful.
At, getting us a lot farther along than I thought we'd be.
Yeah.
So your department's to be commended.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely.
I'd like to go ahead and introduce some of my staff that are here that actually are doing a great job. Jess Knight, who he's the division head for stormwater, and he's kind of the my informal deputy for public works. And then, even though he's not stormwater, Darren Parks, he's over streets and traffic, and they're very instrumental during storms and during like the windstorms we had this weekend. He was out along with staff taking care of the MOT and road closures for the down power lines, and also tree limb removal and stuff. And then Mark Law, he's my stormwater project manager over these CIP projects. He's managing them. He's very instrumental with the contractors, and he holds their feet to the fire and gets us the best, helps get us the best price too. And then Payal Pandya is my new stormwater engineer that we recently hired, and she's been doing a great job. She's been here just a little bit over 6 months, and she's doing very well. And I'm very proud of her and her work, and she's helped me put a lot of this together.
Excellent. So. It's organized, it makes sense, it's prioritized, it's just great. Right. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And I'm glad to see that you found consultants in Ocala.
Yes, ma'am.
We don't always get local consultants. I'm very pleased that you found that instead of somebody in Tampa.
Thank you. Any other, any questions?
No, I don't have any questions.
Thank you,
Sean.
Thank you.
Very good
thank
job. You got something.
Madam President, that's all staff has for you today.
Could we get copies of this presentation?
Consider it done.
Paper copies. Appreciate
it. I need one, since I caught the...
No.
Happy to do it.
Welcome, Mr. McLeod.
Glad you could join us.
The other city meeting went a little longer.
So if there's nothing else, we are adjourned. After I missed my physical therapy, because I thought you'd be here early and I could leave.
That was a good job. Y'all are collecting these, I'm sure these things cost some money to put together.
They're actually for you. If you would like to back us, we'll take them. So.
Please do.
It took too long. Yeah. You know, I'm not big on long meetings.
You're on the airport board?
No, I'm just...